Dear brothers and sisters, last week we looked at the deeds of the body that a person must control and focused on the mouth. One of the types of unnecessary words were lies, irrelevant answers, jokes, slang, vulgar language, and cursing. It was when we looked at saying something you did when you didn't, or vice versa, adding or omitting words when conveying them, judging, condemning, or criticizing others by thinking from your own perspective. These are all forms of lying. And when you reflect and discard these habits, completely remove untruth from the heart, then you can have a mouth of truth desired by the God. We'll continue to look into unnecessary words. Within unnecessary words are jokes, slang, and profanity. A joke is spoken in a light-hearted or playful manner, often exaggerating, misrepresenting, or making empty remarks, all of which are unhelpful. People who make a lot of jokes seem silly and untrustworthy. It makes it difficult to share secrets or entrust important tasks to them. Jokes also don't suit the children of the Holy God. The same applies to worldly slang and profanity. Worldly slang and profanity follow the newest trends, so it's easy to get influenced by the world. And if you think about it, like especially for young adults, they're more inclined to follow or hear the newest trends. And for me, myself as well, when I was preparing this sermon, that I would think of the trends back in the day. And the words that I would remember would be slang or trends from like 10, 20, 30 years ago. And of course, these are words that would, you know, it's mostly a lot of the time back in the day was said by comedians to make the situation more humorous or to kind of cover up the fact that you are rebuking someone, but in a funny way. You're almost making fun of them, but in a humorous way. So you must also reflect upon yourself and see if you are saying words on purpose in a humorous way, but you're making fun of someone else, or you're neglecting or, you know, ignoring someone else on purpose using those humorous words. And we need to think about the meaning behind some of these new trends in the world, because, you know, they're not always good. And if we do use these words, then we must reflect upon ourselves and not use them and repent. And even with the trends these days, a lot of the humorous words or the sayings put people down. There are lots of words that cut people. So even if the words don't contain malice, those who wish to resemble the Lord should refrain from using slang and profanity. There's also cursing. These days, students along with adults suffer from verbal abuse. It's become a social issue. Hurtful or malicious comments cause serious damage to ordinary people and public figures. In serious cases, people take their own lives because of the hate comments. Even, you know, some students, they try and, you know, use certain curse words. And of course, you know, I could try and say these curse words, but I wouldn't on this, you know, special sacred altar. So if you think about students, and back in the day when I was a student as well, I would hear and listen to my friends cursing and using, you know, swear words. And it would make me quite sad to hear that. And sometimes we hear that even close friends swear at each other for the fun of it. And it's not like they're trying to be hateful, it's just their way of communication. But within these swear words and these curse words are malicious words and bad meanings behind it. So for all our, you know, our children, our students, our young adults, all our members, if there are people around you that swear and curse words, make sure you don't use them. Even though other people use the words lightly, we shouldn't. Matthew 5 verse 22, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty." And Raka means, it is a swear word in this sentence, "shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Raka means worthless and foolish. It's a swear word, it's a curse word. The meaning of "you fool" in Hebrew refers to moral betrayal, rebellion, and evil. It means a cruel or morally depraved person. Curse words leave deep scars. But students and even adults often say these words carelessly, sometimes without knowing its meaning. Any curse or insult carries the power to wound deeply. It's important to not speak these swear words. James 3 verse 10 and 11, "From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water?" If we think about fresh and bitter water, we can use these two different types of water as good words, like words of blessing, and words and curse words, swear words. So not just swear words, but we also have to think about what kind of words we speak that are almost close to cursing other people's lives. If we think about Job and the situation with his friends and the words that are spoken between them, think about how many words of curses have been spoken between them. And words that we say to, you know, our friends or to our family, as if, you know, think about what your life's going to be like. You're definitely going to fail. This is not going to work out the way you want. All these negative words that at the end of the day curses other people so that bad things happen or that good things don't happen. So we need to reflect upon ourselves and see if we are saying any of these words that leave scars and that in the end become a curse word. If evil words come from our mouths or these bitter words, then we cannot receive answers no matter how fervently you pray. If you think why you don't receive answers and blessings, even if you, you know, put in a lot of offering, then don't question yourself. Use these words from today. Remember today's sermon and reflect upon yourself and all the words that you've said. Matthew 12 verse 36, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment." We need to avoid speaking unhelpful words as we'll be judged accordingly. It's because you'll be judged. If you've said useless words, God will not remember them if you genuinely repent from the heart. But what about the many words we carelessly say but forget about? In the Bible, people who spoke negative and unnecessary words were held accountable. If we think about, you know, despite witnessing God's incredible power and experience His grace during the Exodus, the Israelites forgot and complained about God. Because of this, they were unable to enter the promised land of Canaan and perished in the wilderness. Similarly, Esau didn't value his birthright and lost it due to a hasty word. In Judges chapter 11, Jephthah made a vow to win a battle without considering the consequences. In the end, he had to sacrifice his only daughter as a burnt offering. The words we speak can bear fruit It's important to not speak hastily or say unnecessary words. There are also words. But of course, you know, you might remind yourself to put a guard over your mouth and to keep watch over your mouth, over the words that you say. But if in your heart you've got judgment and condemnation and criticism, then you cannot guard your mouth. Who wants to make, you know, mistakes with their words? Who wants to criticize and judge and condemn? Who wants to be angry all the time? Even in the world, I'm sure most people wouldn't want to show their temper or say curse words. But it's hard to keep guard over our mouth. Just because you know that you need to keep guard over your mouth doesn't mean you can. You need fervent prayer and you need to sanctify your heart. You need to find the sin in your heart and get rid of those sinful attributes in order to guard your mouth. Just because you think, oh, I need to guard my mouth, I shouldn't say these words, doesn't mean you can. Of course, there are people who don't speak as much. Those people are a little bit, you know, more beneficial. But there are people who love speaking, they love talking. Then you must change and be transformed from the root of the heart. And so far we've looked at negative words. There are also words that bring life, positive and beneficial words. When David was fleeing from King Saul, a man named Nabal was in danger of disaster through his evil and arrogance towards David. Nabal's wife, Abigail, used wise words and actions, turning David's heart and averting the crisis. Later, she was blessed to become David's wife. Peter, by making the right confession of faith, received words of blessings. Speaking a single word well can save a person from death or be led to a path of blessing. The outcome of a situation varies depending on whether you speak positive or negative words. It's important that we only speak positive, beneficial words, words of truth. Ephesians 4 verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Words that give grace, words that lift up others, these are beneficial words. It's a good and beautiful mouth that saves yourself and others. Let's look at a biblical figure who is a key example. This is Moses. So now we need to guard our mouth and, you know, transform our mouths into a mouth of blessing where we can receive blessings from God, before God. Let's look at words where we can save other people. Numbers 12 verse 3 records that the prophet Moses was very humble, more humble than any man who was on the face of the earth. But the people of Israel continued to complain and be disobedient toward Moses and God. They even went as far as to make and worship idols. Because of this, God declared that he would destroy them all. But Moses prayed, asking God to forgive their sins. He offered up a prayer of love, even putting his own life on the line. These words, these moving words from Moses, if you were to hear them, are beautiful, should move us to be transformed as well. Moses offered a great prayer in Exodus 32:32. And God said that he would destroy all the Israelites, but Moses, with a heart of love, kept praying. Of course, you shouldn't argue with God and say, no, you can't do this, or command God to do something. However, Moses prayed on behalf of the Israelites. And Moses knew that the Israelites were full of sin, but wanted God's forgiveness. But now, if you will forgive their sin, very well. But if not, please erase me from your book, which you have written. It was a moving prayer offered by Moses. Though the people had upset Moses' heart, rejected his teaching, and committed sin, he still pleaded for their forgiveness. Moses had a beautiful heart and a mouth of intercession. This prayer, this confession of prayer, is not a kind of prayer that can just be offered instantaneously. It's a prayer full of goodness and a beautiful heart from Moses. And through this prayer, Moses revealed his heart of love and saved the people of Israel, a heart willing to lay down his life for the wicked. Which is why Moses was able to manifest great works of power. But don't pretend yourself. Don't be confused that just because you say beautiful words that everything will be all right. You know, other people, everyone needs to have a heart of repentance. For Moses didn't just offer up a beautiful prayer, but Moses was in charge of the repentance of the people. When Moses interceded on behalf of the others, he took on that responsibility. Same thing with us. If we just say with our word, with our mouth, can't you just forgive them? Can't they receive forgiveness? But you don't take charge. You're not responsible for them. You're not interceding on their behalf, and that's nothing. If you say these beautiful words, when you have a heart of intercession, when you have the heart to take responsibility for other people's actions, then that's when you can offer up that beautiful prayer and have a mouth of intercession. Moses had a heart like this, had a beautiful heart and a heart of intercession. And God said so. God said that the Israelites would be destroyed. However, they were saved because of Moses, because of Moses' heart. And, you know, the time that Moses spent, 40 years of trying to lead the Israelites to the promised land so that they can be sanctified. It's not just words. The heart also needs to follow as well. Deacon Stephen also had no trace of evil like hatred, envy, or jealousy. Whilst proclaiming the truth, the word of life, and facing a crowd who was stoning him, a prayer of love immediately came forth from Stephen's mouth. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. A person If you think about a prayer of love that immediately comes forth, it means that you have a heart of goodness and love. It's because you have a beautiful heart. And it's not, you know, thinking whether you should say a prayer of love or whether you shouldn't say a prayer of love. No, it's, you know, immediately coming forth means that it's from the heart. There's no thinking. It's just from the heart that comes out through the mouth. It's because your whole heart is full of love. Of course, there are some people that think of the pros and cons and then say their words. For these kind of people, then it means that sometimes they will choose the right words of love and sometimes they won't choose the words of love. And if they continue to, you know, encounter bad situations, then they might end up not saying words of love. A person who has goodness and love in their heart and speaks beautiful words does not choose their words based on the situation. They come naturally. Choosing words based on the situation means speaking unkind or harsh words to someone they dislike. Or you may speak good words at first, but revert to unkind words. A person who speaks good words naturally speaks gentle and gracious words to everyone, even to those who harm or act wickedly. At times, a person may speak firmly to correct others for spiritual change, but even then their words are good and helpful. Luke 6 verse 45. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. We must completely empty our hearts of evil and fill them with truth and goodness. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Even if we speak beautiful and gentle words, it's of no use if there's no heart of love. Next, another type of beneficial words is a positive confession of faith. The more you speak negative words, the more things don't go well and become difficult. Positive words and faith-filled confessions have the power to turn things around. But especially for young adults, it's not just words that have power. But it's also through, you know, texts or online. It doesn't have to be words directly. You know, these days, you've got text, you've got online, you've got, you know, social media, you've got uploading, you know, words and whatnot. You've got photos that tell a picture, that tell a story. So for myself, I have KakaoTalk, which is a messenger service used a lot in Korea. And on KakaoTalk, you can choose profile photos and also write like a short little message. And sometimes I see other people's profile photos and look at the words that they've written underneath. And it makes me, you know, worried if I see their words, because I would worry about whether they've lost their faith or whether they've lost their inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the fullness. And if you think about, you know, if you're in a hard time, what's great about showing that you're in a hard time on social media? It makes other people worried about you. What's good about worrying other people? Is it because you want everyone else in the world to know that you are in a state of hardship? But it's not just other people in the world that know. God knows as well. If you pray fervently, you know, a Daniel prayer, but like say words like, how can I overcome this? Give me faith. Give me strength. I can't do this and I can't do that. Then what can God say? You know, God sees everything. Not just words, but your actions, the words that you write and the words that you upload. God sees everything. Just because you haven't said it doesn't mean God can't see it. So you need to think about why you're not receiving answers or blessings or perhaps the fullness. You need to reflect upon yourself. So even though I'm speaking about words, it's not just words, but all the writings that you put and post. The importance of a positive confession of faith is shown in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. So in this, we've got good words and also negative words as well. So you need to think and choose what kind of person you want to be. You need to become a person where you say words of faith. The Israelites out of Egypt sent 12 spies to explore the land of Canaan, the land of blessing. Out of the 12, 10 gave a negative report out of fear of the inhabitants of Canaan. in Numbers 13, and when we read about that, you can feel the true heart of people. The inhabitants of Canaan, or the spies that gave a report. At first, you know, in the beginning, they would report how the land of Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey. And in the Bible, at the start, you can see that they were reporting good news, good information about the land of Canaan. And even about the inhabitants. But then when the 10 spies saw the inhabitants of Canaan, they became fearful. Numbers 13, verses 28 and 29. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Upon hearing this, the people fell into confusion. But Caleb made a confession of faith. Why? Because Caleb can see the people in fear, and to calm them, Caleb made a confession of faith. However, it wasn't much use. The 10 spies who had spoken negatively quickly responded again. Numbers 13, verses 31 and 33. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So, you know, at the start they said how this land was beautiful and great, but now they've just given a conclusion how the people are too strong and the Israelites cannot win against them. These men who have negatively commented have become God. They've judged already. So when you're having a hard time, or when you're in a bit of a negative, you know, situation yourself, then it will be good if you don't talk to many people, because that negativity gets spread to other people, because that's how you talk. When you're having a hard time and you're speaking negatively, then that negativity influences other people. And that negativity influences other people's lives, and then they influence other people. So in order to live a peaceful life, you must think about the words that you should say, what kind of mouth you should have. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are people of great stature. There also we saw the Nephilim." And if you think about the words in this Bible phrase, they said all the people whom we saw. They didn't see all the people of the inhabitants of Canaan. They're over-exaggerating. "There we also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, a part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." But we have also said these words in our own lives. All of these, you know, funny words, these words without faith. And we need to reflect whether we are doing the same now. What kind of words do we say? Do we say words like, "This is too hard, I can't do this, this can't happen, this won't work"? Because of all of this, the people fell into despair and poured out complaints. Numbers 14, verses 1 to 4. "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept at night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.'"
사람들이요 감정이 격해지면 좋았던 것도 다 나빠지게 되고요.
When you're in hardship, all the good things become negative. All the good things that you see, they become bad things that you see. You know, the Israelites that are complaining against Moses and against God, we need to reflect upon ourselves and see if this is not us. Are we complaining just because we're in the middle of our hardship or in the middle of our own trials? We must not have words of, you know, without faith. Then how can Joshua and Caleb stand still? Numbers 14, 6 to 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Though looking at the same land, their words differed. The difference was whether people had faith or not. Negative words without faith are based on what's seen only in front and on fleshly thoughts. To the Israelites without faith, the Almighty God who brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt safely led the Exodus and divided the Red Sea to cross on dry land was nowhere in sight. So the Israelites spoke only negative words, that they are giants and mighty men, and we are like grasshoppers. We can never take that land. But Joshua and Caleb, who confessed positively with faith, relied on the Lord God, saying, "If the Lord is pleased with us," this means if we please God, then it will be done. It's why they said, "Do not rebel against the Lord. They are our prey. Let us go up and take possession of the land." The thoughts of the flesh calculated based on reality and faith differ. There was a difference in confession and in results. Joshua and Caleb said, "We are able and enter the land of Canaan," but the rest of the first generation of the Exodus couldn't enter and perished in the wilderness. This applies to our lives and journey to heaven. If we believe in the Almighty God and the Lord who intercedes for us, then our transformation, entrance to New Jerusalem, answers to prayer, and healing will be received. But if we look at reality, get influenced by the situation and circumstance, and make negative confessions, then the faith and fullness of the Holy Spirit once had will be lost. No matter the difficulty and challenges of reality, you must not become like the 10 spies who led the people to destruction with their negative confession. Nor should you become like the people influenced by the 10 spies. Some people say, you know, words that other people think as well, and use that word to relay information. And, you know, if you think about a situation where someone, person A, has heard person B say, you know, some silly words, something that you really can't understand. But then that person A spreads that, saying, "Oh, look, person B said these silly words. What's the point of spreading these words? What's the point of relaying person B's silly words?" However, person A might have the same heart, might have the same thoughts, which is why you relay them. So instead of saying that,
you know, I don't like this, or I'm uncomfortable with this, or this shouldn't say, you know, or this shouldn't happen, then if someone else has the same thoughts as you, then use that person and convey the information. So it's almost like you're selling another person's name because you have the same thought as them and spreading that. And then you kind of take a step back and say, no, it wasn't me that said it, it was someone else. So you're almost putting the blame on someone else, even though it's something that you want to say. But because it's negative, you don't want to take the blame. Of course, you can, if someone asks you what happened or who said this, then you can, with true facts only, report it. However, when no one asks you, you end up changing or exaggerating some of the information from person B simply because you want to say those negative words or have the same opinion. And these people cannot repent properly because they think that they're not in the wrong, because they think it's not them speaking, it's from other people, and all they're doing is relaying person B's words to other people. However, this is wrong. You know, if you think about the 10 spies who speak negatively, it was their choice. Joshua and Caleb spoke positive words. And, you know, the people ended up listening to the negative words because they have the same thoughts. So it doesn't matter if you've heard certain negative words or, you know, relayed certain information. It comes from you. And you need to realize that these words that you relay, or the same thoughts, negative thoughts that you have, can block blessings. May you not say negative words. It's not just in Christian life, but in our daily lives, all the words that we speak are a snare for Satan. Satan takes hold of the negative words, like, it can't be done, it's too hard, or I can't do it, and makes our thoughts and circumstances more difficult. Spoken from our own lips, the words come to pass accordingly. So all these negative words that we say, they become a seed that's planted. And then this seed grows up. So we need to change our hearts and surroundings with positive words and confessions of faith, like, it will go well, I can do it, and all things are possible to those who believe. I pray that you will all receive answers and blessings like Joshua and Caleb, who only spoke positive words and confessions of faith. There are also beneficial and edifying words that plant faith and give life, but we'll speak about this next week. In family, work, businesses, friends, colleagues, you must have words that are beneficial, that give life to your situation.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.